Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on A2Zen.fm, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show page. So lots of opportunities, and also an opportunity for you to be involved in the work that we're doing here if you would choose to do so. We can also always use your support, and we can also use your energetic support. And when I say it in that context, that means that if you go to the missions page, read about what we're all about. If you don't know, scroll down to the bottom of the page. You're going to see two opportunities for you to support this radio program in any way that you see fit. Again, as I said, as I've always been saying, we can always use your energetic support as well. So please take part in whatever you can do to help us out to bring about the types of to be a part of the transition that's just coming, and it's almost impossible not to be. Because, well, you're here. So if you're in the room, basically you're going to be affected by the changes in the room. So to that end, we are so grateful to have you with us here on the program, celebrating, just past celebrating our sixth year of doing this program. And I find it hard to believe sometimes when I look back at the calendar that I've been doing this for almost 35 years. It's interviewing and working in this industry. It's just, it is phenomenal. Well, our program today is going to take an interesting turn. When I say it that way, it's because, first of all, we have never had this guest on our program, and we've never really touched upon some of these issues before. We're getting more into this realm. I stayed away from it for the first 6 years. It was not a conscious decision per se, although there were times when I asked myself the question, do you really want to go there? You do realize what's going to happen, what could potentially happen when you do, because you're treading on into what some in around the world, in this country as well, would think as, fairy tales and those kinds of things, and that you've gone off the deep end. But the reality is that there is more and more evidence, and we're talking about rather substantial evidence, even if it is, in one sense, circumstantial. It raises too damn many questions to ignore. And so we're going this direction a little bit more here in the beginnings of the seventh year of this program. Maybe that's auspicious. I'll have to ask my astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald, about that. But we want to get into a book and an organization, if you will, a group of people who are about trying to educate and inform. Are you a student who is ready, basically, for a teacher? And you've heard me say on this program for years that there was never a click with any particular person. Now, yes, I'm rereading the primer that I started with in 1977. I'm rereading that again, I like to say, for the first time, partly because it's cute, partly because it's true, because I'm learning so much more this time around. But basically, if you're looking for a teacher, well, welcome to A Teacher Appears, the author, Lori Toy. And Lori, I want to thank you so much for joining the program and being with us.
Thank you, Richard, and my pleasure to be your guest on your show.
This is an area, and we're going to get into an area that a lot of people don't want to go. And I'm guessing that maybe in the beginning you were a little reluctant as well. I find it hard to believe that anybody was actually born going in this direction. But, hey, you know, what do I know? Maybe you were. But I know that when we start talking about influences from other than this planet, other than human, eyebrows go up.
Always.
Eyes bug out.
Always.
People say the skin crawls. Or they begin to pass judgment. Okay, I have a padded room for you if you'd like to spend some time there. We can accommodate you because what you're saying is so off the wall, it's ridiculous. Now, there's a book by a gentleman I'm hoping to have on this program. The book is entitled AD, After Disclosure, and it has to do with the government's finally telling us the truth about the fact that we are not alone in the universe. and how everything will change. And when I first heard about this book, my first question to him will be, let's just assume, for the sake of argument, you're correct and you're telling us all of this is the truth. What makes you think, U.S. government, that we're going to believe you now when we have caught you in so many lies over the decades that we don't believe you? How in the world would anything change? But things are changing regardless of any disclosures by the government, although you, I'm sure, heard Pope Benedict, but I think it was Pope Francis. Maybe Benedict said it before he stepped down, that we weren't alone in the universe. And I thought that was rather remarkable for the head of the Catholic Church to say. Can you share with us a little bit of your thoughts?
Well, I would agree with you on many of the points that you're making about change and conventionality and how consciousness right now is shifting and moving humanity into a completely different paradigm. But perhaps the best place to start for me is at the beginning. As I said before, I come from a very conventional background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised in Missouri Synod, Lutheran Church. Doesn't get any more conservative than that.
No.
And at the age of 22, I was working as an advertising sales rep for a weekly newspaper in the Seattle area. And I was asked to go pick up an ad. And I drove out to a health food store, walked in the door, and the woman at the counter stood and pointed her finger at me and said, "You have work to do for Master Saint Germain." And I thought, this is odd, but I needed to pick up the ad. So I asked her, I said, "Well, who is Master Saint Germain?" And she said, "Here, come back to my office. I'd like to show you a picture of him." And so I walked to her back office, and in that room there was a picture of Saint Germain. And it was a picture of an aristocratic young man, probably in his 30s. It was definitely a different time period. It was around probably 18th century. But oddly enough, I recognized him. I felt like it was someone that I had known before. And I said, "Well, what is so special about him?" And she said, "Well, he is a spiritual teacher and considered to be an ascended master." And I said, "What is an ascended master?" And she handed me a little pamphlet which explained the whole doctrine and the whole idea behind his spiritual teachings. And what happened after that, Richard, is that she became one of my first teachers of the Ascended Master tradition.
Well, I've been reading over the last, I keep forgetting to do the math, but anyway, since I was 17, I've been reading the writings of what I like to refer to the ancient wisdom teachings, which is where a lot of this comes from, these ascended masters, these gurus, these avatars, et cetera, whatever term you want to use. And it's as if they are, well, let me rephrase that into a question. Is it that they are preparing us for something? I mean, we keep talking about transition on this program, but it seems to be like it's like so gradual. It's not like flipping a light switch on or off. First it's on and brightness, and then it's off and it's darkness. It's so gradual, sometimes we don't even notice it.
I would agree. It's almost as if it is a process, especially when you begin to study. I've come to understand Ascended Master teaching as really the teachings of the archetypes of consciousness. And I know as I progressed in my studies, they were the teachings of all time, as you would say, the ancient wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Here were the teachings of Buddha, of Confucius, of Jesus, of Muhammad, of Kuan Yin, all wrapped up into one universal ideal. And they were the stories of courage, the stories of faith, the stories of betrayal, the stories of transcendence, the stories of forgiveness, the stories of transmutation. Here they all were. And they were all somewhat all wrapped up into one tenet or one philosophy. And so it's a lot to absorb. It's nothing that one, I think, could enter into within a year's time and absorb everything that is there. Because what I what I began to understand is that as I moved along with my studies, that I also would develop more spiritually, that there were many different types of practices and techniques that I learned how to apply as my spiritual tutelage continued.
But from your upbringing and your religious upbringing initially, as you mentioned, and I don't know, I was born and raised Catholic, so I know a little bit about Lutherans. There's no place in the Catholic faith that talks about any of this stuff and says, okay, let's get prepared. Let's teach you. Let's educate you. Let's help you to understand what's coming. It's more, you know, learn how to live through suffering and those types of things.
Turning the other cheek more than a dozen times.
Exactly, exactly. And yet, these kinds of teachings have been around for thousands of years.
Yes, they seem to have been engendered to humanity. And they are also something that I believe are not discovered until we are ready to. That is, until we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And it requires a certain level of spiritual development, actually, to begin to acquire this type of knowledge. But once you do get to that place and are able to forge the indelible link with a master teacher, a spirit guide, whatever it is that, you know, can form that link or that bond for you, then a wondrous process really begins, and that is where you begin to integrate with the I Am or the I Am Presence, which in this language would be known as the individualized presence of God. So there is a very universal aspect of these ideas, and yet there's also a very simplistic aspect of these ideas. But back to where you were before, you know, coming out of a very conventional background, when I started out with these teachings, there were many times that I would go into complete denial and complete fear and then put all of the work away and say, oh, no, that just can't be true. And then I would end up coming back to it again and then study some more and practice more technique. And then as it kind of grew for me, and I began to forge more of a relationship with the material, I began to realize that there was a lot to this, and that, as I said before, it wasn't anything that I was just going to absorb overnight.
Well, and there's a lot to absorb. I mean, it's not just the realization that there is no separation, that we are all connected, that we are all one, that we are all part of this process. No one is left out. I don't care who they are. From the highest to the lowest, nobody's left out of this process.
Everyone is connected in this ever-present,
yeah,
as they would describe it.
Yeah.
And everything is one. And, for instance, one of the teachers says, we are a one ship, and each and every one of you form this life. So we are all connected as one, but yet to understand the one is harder for us because we're only human.
Well, I think the other aspect of what makes it hard for us is the fact that we have been so ingrained with the programming regarding individuality. I mean, living in the United States, being born and raised here, the message of democracy and one person, one vote, and self-determination, and on and on and on, there is no one. There is 350 million ones.
Well, and that's that age-old contrast or polarity between Eastern thinking and Western thinking. Western thinking is all on the individual. Eastern, of course, is on the group. What I love about these teachings is that they focus upon us moving with both of those ideas. They talk about the individualized presence of God. But when they say individual is based on a Latin word known as individus, which means cannot be divided. So what they are saying at another level of consciousness is that we must evolve ourselves to get to a new level of individualization. That is, to the point where we are so integrated within ourselves spiritually that we cannot be divided. And then from that moment, we enter into group consciousness or one.
It would seem to me a logical conclusion if we were willing to set aside our pride and our ego. The saying or the phrase, a house divided, whether you choose to use the next line against itself or not, a house divided will not stand. That as long as we as a people, and regardless of what country or just on a global level, as long as we continue to look at ourselves as self, as individuals, as, you know, autonomous, it just seems to me that we're not going to progress in the way in which, I don't know if destiny is the right word to use, as our destiny holds for us.
Well, I think destiny is a very good word to use, because destiny is related, of course, to a Hindu concept known as Dharma, which is our purpose. And according to the master teachings, it is our purpose to realize and to know God. So in Ascended Master Teachings, we may get a lot of lifetimes to pursue this and therefore enter into a process that we may take up and then continue lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And in fact, they refer to that as a transcendence process, or in Hinduism, a liberation process. In Western tradition, it'd be an ascension process. So we are moving forward in our own spiritual development and growth.
I know, too, that my guests are very careful in the words that they use in that regard, because they do not want to step on anyone's freedom of choice and free will. That the terminology is that you always have a choice. You always have free will to go whatever direction that you want to go.
Well, choice is the fulcrum, really, of our whole spiritual development. The will and choice, development of the will, is very, very powerful, because through our choices, we do begin to create our reality, or better said, perhaps co-create our reality. So through the co-creation process, which is dealing with everything that happens in the context of our life, really then consciousness begins to evolve itself.
Well, I use an analogy, and I've been using this for a number of years. You and I both, we come from our backgrounds religiously. I worked for 15 years for a Christian radio station, and as I've said before, it's one of the greatest educations I was ever paid for, because it was a job, too. But I came up with this analogy after a period of time of trying to understand some of the theology, some of the doctrine and dogma that didn't make sense to me.
There's a lot that doesn't.
Yes, I know. There's more than I would have time on 1,000 programs to discuss. But basically, my analogy, because I kept hearing people within this particular realm saying that they wanted to do God's will, you know. So the analogy is of this individual walking around in this beautiful meadow. His hands are cupped in front of him, and he's holding his individual will and just saying, I want to do God's will. I want to do God's will. And he tosses it in the air. And God, and in this case, we're going to have to turn God into a person, is so moved as he catches this individual's will. He is in tears. He's like, my gosh, one of my own creation wants to do my will. And he is compressing that individual's will down into a baseball-sized projectile. And then he hurls it back at the individual walking through the meadow, hits them squarely in the forehead, and says, then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you do not understand.
Exactly.
And I still believe that to this day, and that isn't taking away that person's individual choice to do God's will. It's actually adding more responsibility and saying, well, look, if you were given a garden and all of the tools at your disposal to care and nurture it and cause the things to grow, what would you do?
Well, I think what you're describing for many people, and I think every person gets this opportunity, is to enter into what is known as the hero's journey. That is being called to a higher purpose, to actually participate in service, to do something greater than themselves. But there are many challenges in that process, many sacrifices that will be made. And very few people really can get beyond that. because of the sacrifices. I mean, things that really will be asked of you in that journey. But yet, it's really a wondrous journey, and it's one that I feel is designed to help us to grow and to spiritually evolve and get us to new levels of perception.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I understand what you mean when you use the word sacrifice in that context. However, I had a conversation with my parents not too long ago. They raised six of us. Heck of a family to be born into.
Wow.
A great family to be born into. But people used to tell me when they'd find out, oh, your parents raised six of you? Oh, they must have sacrificed a lot. To which I went to my parents and I asked them about that. I said, did you guys really sacrifice anything? And they said, no. We chose that life. That's what we wanted. So there was no, we didn't give up anything or sacrifice anything because it was what we wanted. So when an individual in this context that we are talking here, Lori, chooses to pick up their staff, so to speak, and follow the calling, whatever that may be for them, they're really not sacrificing anything. They're actually saying, there is nothing more for me here. I'm going after something greater and higher.
Well, they are, in essence, fulfilling their dharma, their purpose in this life.
Mm-hmm.
But there will come time, especially there was for me in the process of receiving the material and the teacher appears, where I really questioned and I had doubt. And I had a struggle with that, which is part of the story in A Teacher Appears. Whereas here I was getting information from Ascended Masters where they were steadily encouraging me about the transcendence of the path and also the, as you would say before, this is the choice that you have made. That was always their reassurance. But it's the difference, I would say, between the aspirant, the person who's aspiring to do something, and then for the person who is already devoted to that, or what we call the chila, or the student who's already dedicated to that. So there's a real transition as we move in our spiritual development from the aspirant to the student, because the aspirant is working with that initial inspiration, whereas the student, they're devoted. And they're actually, now, their consciousness is being sculpted in, and somewhat, in some ways, led, although I use that very generally, by their teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're being at that point is educated to a point so that they will be pushed from the nest, so that they will go off on their own. And then that's a whole other arena of spiritual development within itself.
I want to talk more about that when we come back from our break. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Lori Toy. She's the author of A Teacher Appears. It's an introduction to the Ascended Masters of the I Am America teachings, and we encourage you to stay with us. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks for staying with us here on the program as we continue talking with our special guest, Lori Toy. She is the author of A Teacher Appears. It is an introduction to the Ascended Masters of the I Am America teachings. You have some interesting things to share with us as well. I want to get into the teachings that are contained in this book, but also just in general, though, the teachings you've been receiving over the last, some 20-odd years or so?
Yeah, over 20 years now.
Yeah. But you have some other material that's available that, to me, is rather intriguing, and I just want to touch upon a little bit of it, and that is you have, through the teachings, through the messages and the information that you've received, you have also received information in regards to a new, how do I put this, geographical layout, specifically of the United States, but even on a global level. Is that correct?
Yes, and where I started with my story, I'd like to continue just, you know.
Please, go right ahead.
If I can bring your listeners up to this map, which was really remarkable. After I began to apply some of these spiritual techniques of meditation and prayer and spiritual practice, I was awakened in the middle of the night, and at the foot of my bed stood the Master Saint Germain. And honestly, God, Richard, I thought, this just couldn't be so. So I kind of waved my hand through the form, and the form disappeared, and I figured, well, I was just having a crazy dream or vision or something like that. But then, about 2 or 3 months later, I started having a dream. And in the dream, four beings in white robes presented a map of Earth's changes. And it wasn't your typical Rand McNally map. It was a map that showed the United States, but there were also many drastic changes that were on the coast. The coastlines were all changed. And there was also a very powerful spiritual energy that was exuding from the map, almost as if I was seeing something that was coming from a whole other different dimension into this world. And I remember at the time, I was at that time my children were very young, and I called a good friend. We were in a spiritual group together. And I said, boy, I had this dream about this map, and it showed a lot of changes. But I also had a very high spiritual energy on it. She says, well, you know, Lori, it's prophesied that at some time, either in our lifetime or towards the end of our lifetime, that the earth will go through tremendous change. But alongside that, we will grow spiritually as well. And she says, so no need to fear. And, we didn't even think about it any further than that. But 5 years later, I was in a whole different situation. My husband and I had divorced. I was under a lot of stress. I was a single mother. I had moved from the farm. I was now working every day, jostling this really hectic schedule. And I was under quite a bit of stress. So I attended a meditation class just to help me deal with that stress. And I remember that the meditation leader had led us in a group meditation. And after the meditation, she wanted each of us to make a comment about, you know, what had happened in that meditation. When it got to be my turn, I said, well, I have these spiritual teachers around me, and then they tell me, you know, this technique or how I'm doing with that. And she looked at me like, wow, because I always thought that whenever anyone meditated, that they always had spiritual teachers around them who were helping them and giving them instruction. And she kind of chuckled. She says, oh, you must be a channel. And I never had even heard what the word channel was. I didn't even know what it meant. And so after that meeting, a good friend of mine had said to me, you know, Lori, I'd shared the dream of the map with him, too. And he said, you know, you're so open to this type of information. He said, maybe we could meet and get together and ask some of the spiritual teachers more information about the map. And just so listeners understand, he had been a student of Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce's work contained a lot of Earth Changes information in it. And so he was very interested if any of that information would correlate. And so we did agree to do so. And we met in the early morning hours. And it was so fascinating because I would go into a meditative state, and then I would begin to repeat, almost like a telephone, information that I could see from the map or from the spiritual teachers. And it was a very, very tedious process in the beginning. And but eventually it all evolved, and we ended up getting 51 little lessons that are all contained in this book, A Teacher Appears. And A Teacher Appears is all about that process of how I opened up to becoming a channel, receiving information from these spiritual teachers, and also about the I'm America map.
This book contains some very interesting elements. Some of them are very familiar to me, as I have studied over the years. Some not so familiar, but nonetheless, they make sense to me. And, of course, the ones that jump out at me, one in particular, 16, dealing with sound and so forth. And this isn't a book that's to be, I don't think it's to be read cover to cover, you know, over the course of a few days. I think that you would read a chapter and kind of assimilate it, take it in, absorb it to understand.
It's interesting, Richard, that you say that because, of course, you know, when I published the I'm America map and, we were really out there in the early 90s with that material. And so we really put more of an emphasis on the Earth Change material because we felt like changes are, you know, coming, we wanted to get that information out as soon as possible. And these little teachings kind of got kicked to the side. And it hasn't been until now that I've been able to publish them and actually share them with people. And I think it's because I'm much more mature today. And I think that what you've just said, it isn't something that you just sit and it's a quick read. It's something that you really will read one lesson and then think about it, integrate it, and then read another one.
The other aspect of this, too, that I'm starting to glean as well has to do with the fact that it's not so much you're incorporating so many different sources, but that they are merged together. I was just reading here regarding, this is the final couple of pages here, the spiritual lineage of the violet flame, which I'm familiar with. But I was reading through where you speak of the goddess of compassion and mercy, Kuan Yin. And then, of course, you made reference, obviously, to, in a general sense, Eastern teachings.
Yes. One way to understand that, Sananda once said that he was never limited by form of any type, that he would take on whatever form was necessary for the task at hand. And so often, when a teacher appears, one or two master teachers, sometimes three, they'll all appear, and you think, oh, well, they're all three going to have a different lesson. But what they'll do is they'll merge their consciousness as one and then speak somewhat like a source. So they will do whatever they feel is necessary in order to reach our level of consciousness so that we can continue to grow and evolve.
I like also the aspect that you have that I think gives people an idea as they're reading through. They can actually kind of refresh themselves without having to reread the entire chapter. Go to Appendix A, which refers to the 51 lessons, a review of the I Am Presence. And I just happen to flip back here to Chapter 16, Sound. Sound is the vibration of the universe. One can travel on the pure notes of God, which are a universal and timeless sound and light, travel out of the physical to the realm, to other realms, and then listen to the sounds woven through the elements. There are two things. One is that when you refer to light, the thought comes to me, came to me some time ago, especially in conversations about, you know, how we're polluting the earth and this and that and the other thing. You can't pollute light.
No, you can't.
You can block it. You can divert it. You can redirect it. But the light itself can never be polluted.
Exactly. And one of their sayings is the light of God never faileth. And so it is true. The light is non-corruptible.
And sound, I haven't put as much thought into that as light. I think sound falls under the same category. You can
almost
mute it.
Almost does. I mean, you can have a flat or a sharp note, definitely. But sound and light are complements. And if you read any type of ancient text, Buddhist or Hindu, the basis really, and especially in Hinduism, is light and sound. And even in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, there was the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the light is very profound, and in Ascended Master Teaching, of course, many of their teachings are based upon the seven rays of light and sound. They do get into some of the seven rays in A Teacher Appears, but these are very basic lessons. In some of my books after this, it does get in extensively into the seven rays of light and sound, but not so much in A Teacher Appears. But it does give you sort of a basis of understanding what the rays are and how you can work with the rays, which are how they see light when it separates out, how it carries certain vibration or a spiritual teaching of consciousness.
When you began to first take on this work, were you told or did you have an awareness at all of where it was going to take you?
I had no idea whatsoever. It was a big shock for me that this was what I was now doing. In fact, I think this book was about that. And in fact, in the book, because the way that I've written it is I introduce each lesson and kind of tell my personal story alongside their story, the master's story, the spiritual teacher's story, and their suggestions of what I can do for for whatever dilemma or circumstance that I'm facing at the time. So it's actually two different stories woven into one. But three times in this story, I just leave the work altogether because I just get to this point where I just couldn't handle it. But inevitably, I always came back to it. It seemed like that once that fire was lit within me, I just could not turn back. And so I had to move forward with dispensing the I'm America map and sharing this material with as many people, you know, who were willing to listen.
Well, I mean, you said it before in our first segment. You made the very clear point that once you start down that path, if you will, there's no going back.
There isn't.
I've even said that to people when it comes to taking responsibility for one's life. I mean, and this was more in the Christian context back 20, 30 years ago, where, you know, I was saying, well, you know, you're either 100% responsible or you're not. You're not a little pregnant. You either are or you aren't. And that once you learn, once you hear, so shall we say, the message, you kind of have to do something with it. And it won't let you alone.
No, it won't. And it's not that, you know, and I always get asked this, you know, about the Ascended Masters. They will never tell you what to do. That isn't at all their context. So they're not, like, telling you to do this or go do that or overtaking your will. Instead, they are more like an elder brother or sister, kind of like they put their arm around you and they say, I'd suggest you maybe try this. You know, and then they'll say, take that onto the laboratory of experience. So they're essentially they're saying, don't believe anything I tell you. You try this for yourself and see what happens.
I know that in my musings over a lot of these different concepts, I mentioned the issue of will and choice. And at the same time, going through a program years ago where I wrote down on this rather large piece of a stiff paper that I would listen to and follow. Those last two words are extremely important. And follow the promptings of, and whatever you want to call it, the still small voice, the inner voice, the higher self, et cetera, et cetera.
Intuition.
Now, that now raises, and you've touched upon it a little bit here. That raised for me the question, all right, well, where's this voice coming from? Well, obviously, you know, you can question it. You can make sure that it's coming from the source, the universe, God, again, whatever name you choose to use. And once you've determined that, I would tell people that if you do that, if you listen to and follow that voice, it will never, ever, ever lead you astray. It will never hurt you. It may challenge you. I was challenged on that theory, if you will, because, you know, this gentleman said, well, there are people who are in institutions who follow that voice and they've injured and hurt people and even themselves. And I think that's a whole different scenario.
It is.
We're now talking about individuals such as you and I, and we'd like to think that we are cognizant of our behavior, our thoughts, our feelings, etc., that we're trying to live moral lives on purpose for a greater good. But that sort of takes me to this thought that I had in regards to listening to the voice, following the promptings, so to speak, letting go of my own personal ego-driven will.
And letting go of expectations.
True.
I think sometimes we have to really release something, too, when we're working on an issue or we're going after some sort of a goal.
But that voice, if you will, for lack of a better term to refer to it, that prompting, it's coming from the same place for all of us.
It is. And the master teachers talk about this as the development of the heart. Because all communication at this level is all related to our heart chakra and keeping our hearts open to receiving that type of communication.
And the communication, though different for Lori than for Richard, because it's coming from the same source, is coordinated on higher levels than ours.
In the most amazing way, almost beyond what we could ever understand.
For the big picture. What is, can you share with us your understanding of what the big picture is?
Well, I only have a small little piece, in my opinion, and this is what I've come to understand, and perhaps you have too, that especially when we've been asked to share something, and again, through our free will we do that, when we're sharing something that is profound as this, you do meet a lot of other people who have similar experiences. They might differ somewhat, but you will notice that this is all sort of the same. But this is what I know so far, Richard, and this is ever evolving and always growing, that we are living in a wondrous time of change. And this change may also be predicated with human suffering, that there may be global events and catastrophes beyond what we could ever understand. And some things that might be even horrendous. But alongside that is an opportunity for our spiritual growth and evolution, the process of transcendence that we were talking about before. And I think as we move through this process that we are going to evolve to a whole different level of understanding and growth. Now, I could give you the scientific reasons behind this and all that, but I want to keep this more at a simplistic level. I think that we are going to have longer lifespans. I think that we are going to have better scientific knowledge. And I also think that as we grow along this line, that we will have more of a reverence for spiritual information. But I do think we will also have some changes that are going to happen to our planet alongside this amazing growth. And it seems as if that they are going to happen hand in hand. They will almost walk together, like as the Hopis say in their prophecies, that we will be experiencing two worlds side by side. And I think that there will be some people who will not be able to spiritually grow and transcend. And I think that there'll be some people who will take it and just move with it, and they will rock it in their spiritual development. But that's my simplified version of what I think right now is big picture.
Let me ask you, as we take this to the next level here, because if what we're following is all part of the whole, in a manner of speaking, we are choosing to give up our... it's kind of a dichotomy of sorts. On the one hand, we're choosing to give up our freedom of choice to follow the promptings. By the same token, we're choosing to follow the promptings and go where they lead us.
That's what we were talking about before, is that we are
right.
Perfecting our individualization.
Right. But that there's nothing wrong with that, in as much as it's for the, if I can phrase it this way without creating too many problems for people, that it's for the betterment of the whole, of all, of the community.
What we're talking about is self-actualization.
Yeah.
Moving towards the God source within each and every one of us and realizing that God source to its fullest potential.
Does any of this from... A Teacher Appears that you have put together, or any of the other writings that have been released in other works or have yet to be released, give us an indication of what our collective purpose is here?
Our collective purpose, as I understand it, and I'm not going to quote the teachings directly, but it's everywhere in them, is that we are here to learn and to grow. Spiritually, and more than anything, we're here for each other, because the way that we learn and grow is with each other. So our greatest teachings come from other people, and then we internalize that, and then we change and grow from within through that process. So again, it's almost a powerful metaphor of what we were talking about before, which is how we learn from the group and yet we also learn from our individualization process, how we process and take that in, and then work with that for our own greater good.
How has this, if you can turn the observational lens on yourself, how has this changed you from those early days?
Oh, it's changed me incredibly. I'm a much more tolerant person. I would say that. And it's also softened me immensely. I think before, when I was more brazed in conventionality, that I kind of saw things as black or white, that either it was truth or untruth, and if it was an untruth, it was a lie. But when these unseen worlds are open to you and you begin to see them, you begin to have a different perception altogether. You realize that there are subtleties and nuances in every truth, and you must be open to receive that. That not everything is as it may seem, that you need to work a little harder to see what is unseen. That is to develop the open ears and the open eyes that allow you to be more open and receptive to what I would call different dimensions of understanding.
Tell me about I Am America.
Well, I Am America was the name that we picked, along with the spiritual teachers, to call the mass. And it's based on a really interesting lexicogram. America, of course, if you break it apart, breaks into what is known as the I Am race. And allegedly, in the teachings, they claim that many of the people who live in the Americas today, and they, of course, would include Canada and Mexico, Central and South America, as known as America, are souls that are reincarnated from another great land that existed on the planet known as Amaru, A-M-E-R-U. And Amaru was sort of the genesis from which Atlantis eventually came out of. But Amaru was the original land, and it was a time of much more spiritual realization. And in another book that I have written, Divine Destiny, I actually kind of present all of this information. I did a ton of research, along with a lot of spiritual teachings that were given to us by the spiritual teachers. And I was actually able to put together kind of a timeline of that and actually construct a map to kind of get an idea of perhaps what that looked like at that time. But the I Am race is very important because in the teacher appears, they talk about how we by destiny are a people that have an opportunity to begin to realize and actualize the I Am. That is, getting in touch with our own God self, our own higher self, and using that for our own spiritual growth and evolution.
I wonder sometimes if there, I've often looked for these. Maybe it's the quick fix concept that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. But some way in which to reach those levels of, as you have, greater patience and understanding, which I'm still working on myself.
Oh, we all are. We all are at different levels. I think one thing that I've learned over time, Richard, is that having a teacher help you is huge, because they will do a lot of heavy lifting for you while you're kind of in your little baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're not meant to get dependent on that, because you must go further and begin to realize and take everything, again, as I said before, onto the laboratory itself and begin to experience yourself, because, you know, beliefs can be very inhibiting. And we all do function off of beliefs to some degree, but we also must have that courage to turn belief into experience. But it is possible. A teacher appears is really wonderful, because it kind of outlines how you can begin to form those bonds, not only with the I Am Presence, but also to seek someone who could be your teacher, your guru, whatever, you know, you want to call it, whatever you'd like to take on. Some people, of course, take on teachers in the physical, and there's many of those that are available. And then others, in this case, they're encouraging for you to find that teacher within you at a higher state of consciousness.
I'm thinking that maybe that's the reason why I have never connected with one particular personality over the over the years that I have been searching, as I call it, because I was always being told, you don't, it's inside of you.
It always is, you know? Inside of us. I mean, one of the great teachings of Babaji, he's a Hindu avatar, he said, the Savior is within you, reveal him.
Yeah. I considered a great privilege to have been for a year and a half a member of the Baha'i Faith. And I loved one of their sayings that was, when you reject one of the masters, you reject them all, or messengers, I should say. And when you accept one of them, you accept them all. And so if an individual has embraced one in particular messenger from God, the messages, there is that silver thread, I guess, is what you call it, that is woven through all of the different teachings.
As if we are all interconnected, because it's almost as if one is speaking truth, truth travels, because truth is universal.
Yeah. I think that for people to get a better grasp of the materials that are available, they would need to go to the website. And I need for you, because I have two or three different sites here, and I need for you to clarify for us where you want them to go on the internet to get more information and learn more.
Of course, yes. LoriToye.com, LoriToye.com. And there they'll find a lot of free material, a lot of information about Ascended Master teaching, and in particular, how it relates to this teaching, the I Am America work.
That website again is LoriToye, LoriToye.com. And you can get more information as well as a free audiobook, and again, for a short period of time. Let me, before we wrap up our program here, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us here on the program.
Oh, you're welcome, Richard. And it was fun just to share some of the philosophies. I rarely get to do that. Everyone wants to hear the prophecies. I appreciate your point of view.
Well, let's put it this way. I believe they're in the book.
They're all there.
So,
and they can just look at a map and, you know, a picture says 1,000 words.
Exactly.
So there it is.
Exactly. I am intrigued, though, by the maps. I am very intrigued by the maps of the future condition, if you will, of the continents. That's rather interesting, and I sad to say, I'm living in the wrong place, I think.
Well, no one's living in the wrong place. It's all where we're supposed to be at the right time.
Indeed. I've always, and most of all of my life, I have felt that I have always been in the right place at the right time, so wherever I need to be is where I'll be. But I wanted to ask you before we do wrap up the program, in regards to the teachings, is there any information that has been shared in regards to any kind of outer influence by other beings other than on planet Earth?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Of course, they don't go into great depth or detail because we seem to always be focused on what we're working on in that moment. But mm-hmm. occasionally, they'll hint that there are other, of course, there's other life streams on other planets, with different organizations and spiritual organizations. And, in fact, some of their teaching is linked to lineages that come from other planets. In fact, much of the Ascended Master tradition is known as a tradition of the planet Venus, of all things. But I think that is because Venus is the archetype of beauty, and beauty is always known as the middle way, or how do we approach things from the most balanced, harmonious perspective. But they have referred to it. And, they don't go into great depth, but there have been, throughout the many years I've written about eight other books. And in those, you can look in all my footnotes and my appendices, and you'll find a lot of information about, you know, beings from other planets.
That's an area that we are sort of dipping into ever so gently and lightly, because it is something that is of concern to some folks, that how is it that if we, as Copernicus shared with us, are not the center of the universe, then there must be other things about what we've been told that aren't true in regards to the fact that we're all there is. And it seems...
I take sort of a Hindu perspective on this. Mm-hmm. They talk about lokas in Hinduism, which are levels or dimensions of experience. And they allege that Earth is known as Burloka, which is not the highest, not the lowest. And so there are other levels of dimensions or lokas, L-O-K-A-S, of experience. And these stream all the way in terms of cosmology from Earth way out to other planets in other areas. And, you know, some of the highest are known as Tapaloka, where a lot of the great Kumaras are alleged to have come from. And these are the beings of just the highest, purest consciousness.
Mm.
Well, so there's something to it. There really is.
Yeah. Well, we're going to delve into that in other programs. Before we go, I want to ask you, who is Lori Toy?
Well, I would say that I have a message. And I would also say that I'm a regular human being like anyone else. I'm a mother, a wife, and also a grandmother. But above all, I am devoted to sharing the message of change for the master teachers.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
To give my perfect service. To serve as and do the best job that I possibly can do in doing this.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
I think we are beyond what we currently comprehend and understand. And that we're using just a small fraction of where we are going into the light.
Well, Lori Toy, thank you again for joining us, author of The Teacher Appears. It's great to have had this opportunity to talk with you, and I hope we get another one down the road as well.
I'd love to, Richard. It was a pleasure meeting you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Once again, the book is entitled A Teacher Appears. The website is LoriToye.com. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.